said it was done.
All right. Okay. We're holding Chalchetim and Bays, five lines from the bottom. Mishnah had talked about that person declares that these trees will be a korban if they don't get chopped down. We said yesterday in the Gemara the situation is that there's a storm and he's expecting that all the trees are going to fall down. So he says basically any trees that survive the storm are going to be hektish, are going to be korban, or this talus will be a korban if it doesn't get burnt. We said yeshla and pidyon, and they can be redeemed. We talked about two explanations of what this business about pidyon means. One is that he said, and one is that he declared them that the value of them will go towards the korban. The value they're hektish as far as the job, they have kedushas damim, so therefore they need pidyon just like anything else that was given to hektish. Or the other possibility is he meant it's a regular kind of neder, similar to what we talked about in the first and second and the beginning of the second parak about where you say that something is kikorban, but since he's making it a koinam or a korban or whatever for everybody as opposed to just individual people, then it has to a certain extent the din of hektish, and there would be an idea if somebody were to use it at that point, they would be chayef ilah, and therefore it requires pidyon. Therefore it requires like buying back. So the Mishnah had said two cases. One is where you just say these trees will be a korban if they don't get chopped down. The other one is these trees will be a korban until they're chopped down. So then the Mishnah said ein lahem pidyon. So when you say ein lahem pidyon, that they don't have a pidyon, does that mean a lo'ilam? Does that mean that forever there's no way to take off the issur from them? Amar bar Pada, no. Pidaan, it means that if you put to them while they're still standing, chozus for coaches. Padan chozus for coaches. What happens is, so these trees are still standing. They didn't fall down in that day's storm. They're still standing. So therefore, you're saying, according to the terms of your nether, they become kodesh. What happens if you're put to them at that point? What happens is, because they're still standing, because the deal was they're going to be kodesh until they're chopped down, then the kedusha immediately comes and comes right back onto them. So the ein lahem pidyon means you can't be poured to them until they're cut down. Padon poses a question. Achi kotetsu, until they get chopped down. Niktetsu, once they get chopped down, poured pamachas v'daye, then you just need to be poured to them one time, and that's it, nothing more is needed. Because at that point, they're chopped down already. So now, according to Bar Pada, as the Gemara is going to discuss, now the kedusha can't just go away on its own. The kedusha that's on these trees or this talus or whatever has to be something done to take it off. How do you take it off? By doing pidyon on them. There was a tanai, actually he caught it too, but the point is, Bar Pada holds that he still, even so, like paka kedusha b'chdi, that the kedusha doesn't just go away for nothing. It's one. Basically, I mean, the Ran makes it wouldn't help to take away the kedusha, right? So the Ran makes a distinction between, for example, if you declared, for example, that these things are koinam for certain people, let's say, or whatever, you know, they're koinam on me or whatever until a certain date, then sure, after that date, they're mutter and nothing more is needed.
Can you make a general deny that something will be hekdesh until a date and after that it works?
We'll talk about it in the Gemara. We'll get to it. That's exactly what the Gemara is going to be discussing. But for the moment, at least, as we go through Bar Pada's opinion, we'll see this discussion that evidently he holds that once you have a permanent kedusha on something, and it has to be a certain type of kedusha. Also, we're going to distinguish later on between kedushas like guf versus kedushas damim. Once there's a certain kind of kedusha on something, then no, it can't just go away for nothing. There has to be something done to take away that kedusha. So therefore, so Bar Pada is saying that when the Mishnah says ein lahem pidyon, means only as long as they're standing is there no pidyon. As soon as they're chopped down, fine, you do the pidyon one time, and then that's it. Nothing further is needed. V'ula Amar, Ula says, no, kivin sh'niktsu shuv ein pidyon. Once they're chopped down, then there's no being pidyon to them. Meaning, when he says there's no being poured to them, doesn't mean at that point you can't be poured to them. It means that at that point you don't need to. At that point the kedusha has automatically gone away. Now, what does this mean? So, is Ula, to what extent is Ula arguing with Bar Pada? So the Ran has a long discussion of it over here. The Rashba says that they both agree, as long as the tree is standing, that if you poke it, the Kedusha is immediately going to be chal again, and so forth. The question is only what happens after it's chopped down. Do you need to be poked, which is what Bahada is saying, or do you not need to be poked because at that point, yes, your Tanai was that it will be Kodesh only as long as it's standing. Once it's chopped down, it's no longer standing, so therefore the Kedusha immediately goes away. So the Rashba holds that you only have that's the only issue that they're arguing about. And he goes and discusses about the relevance of it to other areas of halacha. Then the Ran brings from Rav Moshe Kotovi, Rav Moshe from Cordova. I don't know clearly who that is. Apparently it's the same one that he lived before the Rambam, because the Rambam describes in one of his Truvas, somebody asked him in a Truva in Hilchos Tefillin, what the proper order of the Parshiyos, what we call Rashi's order or what we call Rav Natan's order. The Rambam writes according to what we call Rashi's order. So somebody asked him, how you talking? We find in the Rif, we find another early Rishonim, we find according to Rabbeinu Tam's order. So the Rambam mentions in this Truva that there was something that Rav Moshe Kotovi, the Pashtus, the same person that the Ran is mentioning, wrote a sefer on this topic, which he held according to Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, and everybody else ended up following him. And the Rambam says, I myself used to have to feel him like that, until I checked into the matter more carefully and realized that that's not right. That really the halacha is like what we call Rashi's order, and therefore I've got myself neutral.
What are we doing today?
Well, I mean, we hold the halacha as like Rashi. We say the halacha is like Rashi, but we still Chassidim van Shemaisa put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, and then back about 40 years ago, that Rebbe gave a hurrah that everybody should be starting putting him on to put him on after Bar Mitzvah. But the halacha technically is like Rashi. Mi'ikra din, a person just puts on Rashi tefillin, they're yotze. A person just puts on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, they're not yotze.
They're not
Yotze according to the way the halacha has been decided.
Who decided that?
The Achronim, the Poskim, the Beis Yotze.
And why they're not Yotze?
Because according to it's the wrong order. According to Rashi's and the Rambam's opinion, then the Parshiyos are placed in the bottom, out of order, and that makes it possible. Okay, whatever. This isn't. I don't want to get too far into it. It's way off topic. I'm just mentioning this to Moshe Kotovi.
How they're placed in the
bottom, yeah.
In the bottom.
Yeah, and also in the Shel Yad, how they're in what order they're written. In a Shel Yad, you know, the Parshiyos are all written on one long strip of parchment. But in Rashi's tefillin, they're actually written in the order Kaddish, V'hoyim Kiviyacha, Shema, then V'hoyim Shemaya. In Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, what they just said, because V'hoyim Shemaya comes before Shema, but you have to write them in the order they are in the Torah. You write Kaddish, V'hoyim Kiviyacha, you leave a blank space. You write Shema in the fourth space, and then you go back and write V'hoyim Shemaya in the third space. But yeah, according to the
course,
we don't know how much Rabbeinu had them. That's neither here nor there for our purposes. Anyway. So that's this from Moshe Kotovi. So the Ran brings from him that actually he says that Barpada and Ula are arguing on both things. They're arguing on both issues over here. Number one, Barpada again holds that Kedusha doesn't go away for nothing. So therefore, he argues that's exactly why, if you, as long as the tree is standing when you're poyde, then the Kedusha immediately goes back on. Because otherwise, if the person meant, when he made the neder, he meant to say that there can be some point while these trees are standing that the Kedusha can be taken off them, he would have had no reason to mention Achi Kotzitzu until they get chopped down. You'd still need, according to Bapada's way of looking at it, you'd still need Pidyon, you'd still need to pray to them in order to take off the Yisra for everybody, because you declared them a carbon. The fact that you mention that detail means that you meant that the Kedusha should remain on them permanently, so even if you pray to them, the Kedusha will come right back. Ula doesn't take that view. Ula takes the view that Kedusha can go away without anything. So the same way as the Kedusha, according to Ula, the Kedusha will go away after the chop down, no pidyon is necessary. The same way, Rav Moshe Kotovi argues, according to Ula, not necessarily would we say that when you chop them down, when you poke it, that the Kedusha will come right back. According to Ula, it may well be that even while they're standing, you're able to be poke to them. And according to that, when the Mishnah says, Ein lahem pidyon, again, we'll be talking about what happens after they're chopped down.
While just for trees in Eretz Yisrael.
No, not necessarily trees in Eretz Yisrael. No, it could be trees anywhere in the world. preposterous. Again, you have two different explanations of what it means to declare them carbon. Does it mean that the trees themselves obviously are not broadly carbon? Well, okay, there's carbon atom, but we're not talking about that. Either we're talking about that you declare that the value of these trees is going to be given as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, so that's the Kedushas Damim. So the trees have a Kedusha, not the trees themselves, but the value of them has Kedusha. Or it means that you declared a koinam on them, but you declared a koinam not just for yourself, but for the whole world. They're also to the whole world as a koinam. And in that case, a koinam being a species of carbon, as we learned in the first parak, it's one of the slang terms or whatever for a carbon, then therefore it has to a certain extent the dinim of a carbon. And if a person were to, and if somebody else were to go and use these trees at that point, they would be chayav me'ila. Okay, so those are the two ways of explaining the machlokes of Ula and Bar Pada. Amalei Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Hamnuna asks Ula, you're telling me then that once you chop down the trees, then no pidyon is necessary. Kedusha shebehem lahechan holcha. Where did the kedusha in them go? I mean, how is it possible? Bar Pada seems to be saying that the kedusha can't just disappear on its own. You have to do something in order to take it away. According to you, you're saying all you need to do is chop them down, but don't you need to do something to remove the kedusha? Which again, the Ran asks. So I mean, if we're talking the explanation that the carbon over here means a neder, that you're making them also by a neder. So what's the problem? The same way as we've had cases before in the Masechta, and we'll have later on cases where neder is time dependent, and once the time expires, then that's it. The neder is over, and then there's no further issur. And that's the difference that the Ran discusses that we said a couple of minutes ago, whether you're talking about something which is also only to some people versus where it's also a koinam klobi, the Ran calls it, something which is also to the whole world, it's a stronger kind of thing. We're going to learn later on in the next parak about the idea that we just talked about, that it's considered me'ila and pidyon, etc. Where there's a koinam that's a private thing on a person, there's no pidyon necessary. You just need either to be matur neder or the time expires. Here we're saying because it's a koinam on the whole world, the koinam quality, therefore it's stronger. And again, according to the opinion, according to the explanation that we say that korban over here means that you actually declare kedushas damim, well, all the more so. Then that's a regular case of hekdesh. Then for sure you have Rabbi Avnona's question that the kedusha can't just go away on its own. And after all, Rav Hamnuna says, I can give you an analogy. Ilu omer le'isha hayom at ishti l'macha iyach ishti. What if somebody were to tell a woman, I'm mekadesh you in such a way that today you're my wife and tomorrow you won't be my wife? Meaning he's being mekadesh with a time limit. Minak v'la get? Would she be allowed to go away from him without a get? Of course not. She would obviously need a get. Now where do we get that obvious statement from? Maybe it's not so obvious. So Tosfos and the Rosh both discuss that there's a similar concept as far as a get. If a husband gives his wife a get and says this get is only in effect today, but tomorrow the get has expired and you're considered my wife again, that such a thing doesn't work. The get is a permanent thing. By analogy, the Tosfos and the Rosh say, by analogy, since we have in many cases in Halacha, we have an analogy between Kedushin and Gerushin, the Yotza V'Hoysa, the Hekesh over there between divorce and marriage. Therefore, by the same logic, you can't have a temporary Kedushin. If you have a Kedushin for today, then it's a Kedushin indefinitely. There's different kinds of... There can be a t'nai whether the kedushin are chal in the first place. There can be many such cases, but here where the kedushin, no, so you can't have that to say. That's what we're saying. You can't.
The man notiv liyoma
is also man notiv liyoma though is he saying that you're going to be married to me, or we learned in Yuma maybe not necessarily married, but at least available for marriage or whatever, and then afterwards I'll give you a get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Omale Rava, so Rava answers back, Rav Amnona, what's the question? Mikom Adamus Kedushas Damim Kedushas Aguf. How are you comparing the case, our case of the tree or the talis, which is Kedushas Damim, which is a Kedusha only involving the value of it, with Kedushas Aguf? Whereas when you're talking about a case of Kedusha, you're talking Kedushas Aguf. It's something it's a Kedusha that goes on the woman herself. Kedushas Damim Pakar B'Kdi, yes, the Kedushas Damim maybe can go away on its own, without needing anything else, Kedushas Aguf by Pakar B'Kdi, whereas Kedushas Aguf can't. So yes, there could well be a difference that there could well be a difference between Kedushin and the case of the tree. Pakar means goes away, B'Kdi, without anything. Omalei Abaya, so Abaya asks back, you're telling me Kedushas Aguf by Pakar B'Kdi. So what are you Rava telling me, the distinction, that there's a difference between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Aguf, that Kedushas Damim can go away just on its own, so you cut down the tree and automatically, according to Ula, the Kedushan is gone and there's no pidyon needed, whereas when it comes to Kedushin of a woman, you wouldn't say that, you don't say that automatically the day expires and the Kedushin over. Valtanya. But we learn in a Braisa that we learn in a Braisa, in fact, that even Kedushas Aguf can go away on its own. Before we get to the Braisa, though, the Ran points out, the Ran discusses, so if Abaya is saying Kedushas Aguf can go away automatically based on the Braisa that he's going to quote, so does that mean that in this case of Kedushin he would also hold the same way? And the Gemara seems to take it as a very obvious thing, as a very obvious thing that everybody should have to agree to, that such a thing is impossible. But according to Abaya's objection over here, it sounds like maybe it is possible. So the Ran discusses that no, there's a difference because the Ran discusses like this: any kinyan that's not a permanent thing is called only kinyan payers. For example, he gives an example of back when during the time of most of the first Beis Hamikdash, when Yovel was in effect. If a person sold a field then, we know the field goes back to the owner in Yovel, and similarly if a person buys a field from somebody else and then donates it to Hektish, then at the end comes Yovel, it returns to the original owner. So there you have, even though it's Hektish, it goes back to the original owner and he doesn't have to pay anything for it. Why? Because the original buyer only bought it for Kenyan payers. He doesn't have permanent ownership of it because land in Israel is not allowed to be sold permanently. So therefore, all he had it for was a temporary kinyan, and temporary kinyan is only a kinyan as far as the payrus, that he's entitled to eat the payrus of the field until Yovel. So therefore, such a thing. So that kind of kedusha, even when a hektish is involved, it's still a weak kind of kedusha. Yes, it can go away automatically. But wait, well, when it comes to kedushin. There's no such thing as kedushin of a woman. There's no such thing as kinyan payrus. A kinyan when you makadish a woman with kesef or shtar or whatever, it's a kinyan aguf. And vice versa. Let's put it this way: it's either you makadish as a kinyan aguf, or if you're going to say that it's a temporary thing, which is kinyan payrus, then that's not a kedushin at all. There's only one kind of kedushin, and that is kinyan aguf. Were you actually trying
to compare it to karka?
No, but that's the thing. Karka, you're only getting the payrus. There's no such thing as kinyan payrus when it comes to a woman. Therefore, the only kind of kinyan that's valid that's relevant as far as kedushin is kinyan aguf. A kinyan aguf, by definition, the Ran explains, has to be a permanent thing.
Why?
That's his definition. That a kinyan, any temporary kinyan is only a kinyan payrus. If it's going to be a permanent kinyan, it has to be kinyan aguf. Or, and vice versa, actually. If it's Kenyan Aguf, it has to be permanent. But rather, Kenyan Aguf, then it has to be permanent. There's no such thing as a temporary Kenyan Aguf. A temporary Kenyan is a Kenyan payer.
Wait a minute. That's my question. Are you saying Kenyan Aguf is permanent because the only Kenyan that's temporary is Kenyan payer?
That's what we're saying, yes.
That's what
we're saying.
Or we can say the other way. We can say there is Kenyan payer is temporary, but the Kenyan Aguf in itself has permanence.
It sounds like six of one, half dozen of the other, really. The exact expression that the Ran is using is that And if she's not his wife forever, then there's no Kinyan Aguf. There's no such thing as Kinyan Damim, as Kinyan Damim, or Kinyan Peiris, whatever, by a woman. She can't, therefore, she can't be his wife only for a certain amount of time. Shekol Kayotze B'zeh, any Kinyan Aguf, any temporary Kinyan is not a Kinyan Aguf. The definition of a Kinyan Aguf is that it's a permanent Kinyan. So therefore, so yes, even Abaya might argue then that there's a difference between that he would say that a kedusha guf can go away on its own, but that's when you have something such as hekdesh where you're able to have kedusha guf or you're able to have kedusha stomach. Either one is possible when it comes to hekdesh. You can be makdish the guf of something permanently, or you can be makdish the stomach of something which then is temporary.
We're talking about two things. We're talking about
Kedusha
on one side and Kinyan on the other. It's not the same.
But we're talking about what is the Kedusha? The fact that Hekdesh makes a Kinyan on it.
But it's still a
Kedusha. But it's a Kedusha that happens through a Kinyan. So that's what we're saying. That the
Hekdesh is made through
a Kinyan. Yeah, in this case, when you're giving it to Hekdesh, yes, Hekdesh is making a Kinyan on it. As we'll learn on Amud Beis, Amud also the Gavaya can sit off to the Hedyot. When you declare that something is Hekdesh, then that already is considered the equivalent of a Kinyan that a regular person would make on it. Yeah.
So it cannot have kedusha without kinyan. Is that what you're saying?
The when you're giving something to hekdesh, how does it get kedusha?
I'm asking, can you say this has kedusha? I'm saying this can.
What do you mean this has kedusha? Am I giving it to hekdesh or not?
No.
So again, we have the two possibilities in the Mishnah. When you say, if you say this is korban, do you mean, are you saying that the value of it is to be given to the Beis HaMikdash, or are you saying this thing is also to everybody else as if it were a korban? Either way, we're talking about pidyon over here, but whatever. The point is that we're talking about putting kedusha on it. So far, we're talking about we have kedushas damim. According to either explanation, the point is it's not kedushas aguf. The thing itself is not intrinsically kaddish. That's why you're able to do pidyon on it. But with hekdesh, with something becoming kaddish, both kinds of kinyan are possible. With kedushin, only one kind is possible. Only kinyan aguf. There's no such thing as kinyan damim by a woman, and therefore it can't be a temporary thing. So what's Abaya's proof? Well, Tanya, we learn it at Braisa. Shurza oila kol lamad yom. If somebody says this ox is an oila for the next 30 days. And after 30 days it will become a shlomim. So during those whole 30 days it's considered an oila, which has certain relevance. Among other things, it means, first of all, that me'ilah applied, the dinim of me'ilah applied to it. The dinim of me'ilah don't apply to a shlomim until it's shechted, and then it applies to the fats, the emurim that are brought on the mizbeach. An animal for a shlomim, or the meat of it, the me'ilah is not shy to it, because me'ilah only applies to something which is also which remains also to everybody, which remains also to everybody. Whereas the shlomim, the meat of it is going to be eaten by the owners and the kohenim and whatnot. So therefore, me'ilah doesn't. You can't do me'ilah in a shlomim. You can do me'ilah in an oila. So during these 30 days, if a person were to use this animal for work or whatever, he'd be chayav a korban me'ilah. Or malchus is the case, maybe.
But exclusively for hekdesh, whereas the shlamim shared by the
kohen. Right. Number two, another thing Tosfos points out is it means that if he were to actually bring the korban during those 3 days, he would have to bring it as an oila. He can't bring it as a shlamim or as any other korban during that 30 days, because during that period, it has the kedusha of an oila. Yeah, during the 30 days, we said it's an early. During the 30 days, that's what we're saying. Yeah, the Ursa Mayach talks about the possibility maybe you shouldn't be doing that because then you're preventing your neder from being chal afterwards. Okay, that's another matter. Yeah. Anyway, another example. Before we get to the other example, yeah. So why isn't it a kedusha zaguf? You're telling me that during the 30 days it has the kedusha of an oila, you see that oila automatically, you see that kedusha of oila automatically disappears, just based on your tonight. So you see that, yes, a kedusha, even a kedusha zaguf, which that's what we presumably were talking about, because you said it's going to be an oila, that's kedusha zaguf, that the thing itself is kaddish and has to be brought to the carbon. And we see that it goes away after 30 days. The answer is no. Hachab Maya Skinner, no. Rava could answer that no. What we're talking about, Da'amar L'Dami, No, he didn't say that the animal is, he didn't say that the animal is actually going to be an Ola or going to be a Shlomim, as the case may be. The animal, let's say, the Ram says we're talking about the animal is a Baal Mum. A Baal Mum can't be brought to the Korban. So therefore, when he says, necessarily, when he says for 30 days it's an Ola and after that it's a Shlomim, he means the value of it. I'm gonna sell it, and the value, if I sell it during these 30 days, the value of it, the money that I get for it is going to be used for an Ola, or is going to be, after 30 days, is going to be used for a Shlomim, as the case may be.
Well,
the Gizbar should sell it, whatever, yeah. Okay. Now the Ran points out that answer works okay. Of course, that answer seems to work okay. That takes care of Rava's problem. That takes care of Rava's issue, where he says there's a difference between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Aguf. Kedushas Damim can go away automatically. Kedushas Aguf can't. Good. We're talking here Kedushas Damim. How does it help with Bar Pada? Bar Pada, with the case of the tree, was talking about Kedushas Damim, and he still said that the Kedusha requires Pidyon. It doesn't go away automatically, as Reb Hamnuna was pointing out. How does it help? So how does it help with that? So the Ran answers that you could say, according to Bar Pada, he might explain that the Braisa is talking about where he, during that 30 days, he was Poda the animal. During those first 30 days, he did buy back the animal from Hekdesh. Now what we're saying is, nevertheless, automatically, even though you would think that at the time when you said this Tanai, it couldn't possibly get the Kedusha of Shlomim, because until you do the Pidyon, it has the Kedusha of an Ola, it has the Kedusha Damim of an Ola, therefore no other Kedusha Damim is able to come on it. No, we say that nevertheless, that's the Kiddush. Once you put it, once you took away the sort of like we discussed a week or two ago about the idea when a person makes a couple of two Nadarim of Nazirus, where we said that the second one is sort of hanging there in the air, sort of floating there in the air until the first one is taken away. So you master the first one, and then the second one can fall in. Similar idea over here. We're saying that the Kiddush of the Ola is on it. The Kedusha of the Kedusha Damim for an Ola. Until you put it, at that point that Kedusha goes away. Now at that point, now automatically the Kedusha of the Shlomim has room to come into play after 30 days. So according to Bar Pada, that's what it could mean. Tosfos and the Rosh have other possibilities about what we're talking about over here. One is that Tosfos mentioned the possibility it could even be we're talking about an animal that the Tam, which we learned way back in Shkolim, and we've touched on occasionally since then, that the din is, if you makdish an animal that's tam, even if you makdish it to Rebetic Abayas, for example, well, you're not allowed to, actually, you're not allowed to be makdish a tam, it's actually a loises, say, you get malchus for it, but if you do, then nevertheless, even though you makdish it for Damim, for Rebetic Abayas, but the money of it is going to go towards Karbonis, or towards the upkeep of the Smithish or whatever, it automatically gets Kedushas Aguf and has to be brought as a Karbon. But what are we talking about over here? Tosfos says we could be talking about, there is one exception to that, where you makdish the animal, not the animal, you makdish the value of the animal to use for nesachim, to use for the wine and flour and oil that are going to be brought on the mizbeach. Since those are brought on the mizbeach as well, then therefore you're able to be makdish even a tam for that purpose, that the value of the animal will be taken, the gizbo will sell it, or you'll sell it, and then give the money to the gizbo, whatever, and it'll be used to buy nesachim. And that's a possible method that you're able to do.
That you're allowed to sell it?
That you're allowed to, yeah. So that would seem to take care, we said it's for Damim, and therefore, so that still fits with Robert's distinction between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Aguf. Question is, Yihachi, well, so, Amos Sefer, look at the next part of the Braisa. How about if the person said, La'acha lamad yom ola ume'ach shav shlomim? What if the person said sort of the other way around, that after 30 days from now, this animal will be an ola? As of now, it's a shlomim. Now, on the face of it, that means that he's saying, on the face of it, it means that, right, he's saying these first 30 days it'll be a shlomim, and later on it'll be the ola. Why, there'll be an ola. Why we're saying it in this order? Why we put ola first and then shlomim? We'll talk about it on days. A basic reason for it, the Rosh says, is because since the first part of the Braisa mentioned a case where you're declaring it first an Ola then a Shlomim, so for parallelism, the second part also mentions the Ola first and then the Shlomim, even though in terms of the actual time you're doing it the other way around. And on the Beis, we'll talk about the Ran gives a different reason why the Braisa phrases it this way. Anyway, so uh, So the Braise gives a second example. So Iam Kishlema, if you're gonna say that Khadbukdushamim, now you could argue like this. Why is the Braise having to bring two cases? You could say because if you only have the one case, then you would think that it's only talking about Dushas Damim, as we just discussed. So therefore we have a second case to tell us that no, this kind of thing happens not only with Dushas Damim, but also with Dushas Aguf. Then even then, the Kedusha is able to go away automatically, like Abaya is arguing. So then, good. Then that would be why the Tana has to teach both cases. Because otherwise you might think, like Rava is arguing, that Kedusha the Gruf can't go away automatically, but Kedusha Damim can. I'm too lofty, therefore, because of that Tana Tarti, therefore it mentions both cases, in order to clarify, by telling us two cases, clarifies that you should know what's the need for two cases. One of them is Kedusha, one of them we could argue is Kedusha Damim, like we did before. The other one necessarily has to be Kedusha Guf. Eli Amit Aidi Ba'idi Kedusha Damim. But if you're going to say both of the cases, that both cases in the Braisa are talking about Kedusha Damim, which would be what Rava has to argue, Lomeli the Misni Tarti, then why would the Braisa have to mention both? Hashti Yashlaimim Kedusha Chamurlo Kedusha Kalapaka. Obviously, you can say if we're saying going from Ola to Shlomim, where you said the first 30 days is an Ola and after that it's Shlomim, you're saying even though Ola is a stronger Kedusha, nevertheless Pakah, and nevertheless according to Rava's way of looking at it the Kedusha can go away as long as it's Kedusha Zamim, Kedusha Kalal, Kedusha Chamura, Tzuchel Meimer. How much more so if you're going from Shlomim to Ola, which is a stronger Kedusha? Now that we've gotten to
say Kedusha.
If we say that the Braisa is that both cases in the Braisa are talking about Kedushas Damim, then what is the second case adding to the first one?
So we say that we don't.
So there, that's why we should argue that one is talking about Kedushas Damim, and the other one is telling us even Kedushas Aguf, which fits with what Abaya is saying. It does not fit with what Rava is saying.
Right.
So if Kedushas Aguf, Kedushas
No, because that's the thing. So, no, because if you only had one case, it's called Tana Seifa Legaluya Resha. If you only had one case in the Braisa, before, when we started learning the Braisa, Abaya brought the Braisa because he thought that it's Kedushas Aguf, and therefore you see Kedushas Aguf can go away on its own. So Rava is telling him, no, it could be Kedushas Damim. If you only had one case, you would think, like Rava is thinking that's Kedushas Damim. The fact that it's two cases teaches us one of them has to be Kedushas Aguf. And once you have that Kedushas Aguf, then you have a problem with Rava. And not only that, more to the point, Lema Tevet Yufta, Debar Pada. Now that we've reached that point, then it seems we have a contradiction to Bar Pada. Now, the Tosfos and the Rosh discuss that actually, I mean, it's not really, on the face of it, you could argue it's not a question only on, Bar Pada. You could argue that it's a question on Ula as well. Because even Ula would have to agree that there's a case of Kedushas Aguf that doesn't go away, namely the case of Kedushin that we talked about before. So the Rosh discusses that. So each of them gives various explanations. The Rosh says that before we weren't talking about Braisis, we were talking about statements. This etc. is not Braisa. So fine, Ula could conceivably argue with it. Once we have a Braisa though, then we have a problem. That's why we're saying that this Braisa contradicts Bar Pada. When it comes to Ula, we could understand him according to either Abaya or Rava. But by Pada, we don't seem to have that.
So how do we?
Wait. Before we get to the answer, let's look more to the point at what. So the Rosh gives a different explanation. The Rosh says that actually, when we say here that it could be a steer to Bar Pada, it does mean it could be a steer to Rava as well. This understanding of the Braisa that we have now. If we say one is Damim and one is Aguf, then it contradicts what Rava is saying. It's another example. The Rosh says of Lashon Nedarim Mishuna, that the Nedarim often does odd things, and instead of mentioning that it's a stira to both of them, it just mentions Bar Pada. But according to this way of looking at it, it's a strong stira to Rava as well.
Because
Rava is distinguishing between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Aguf. Okay. The The Ran says that what does the Ran say? Ran says that okay, you could still distinguish. You could say that before when Rav Hamnuna pointed out Kedusha Shebehem Lahichan Holcha, because after all, don't you have the example from Kedushin? You could say, like we said before, Kedushin are different than Hektish. So in other words, we could argue, in other words, fine. Rav Hamnuna's objection to Ullah is not a very strong one. Ullah is arguing that Kedusha can go away on its own. Rav Hamnuna is saying it can't, you see from Kedushin, but okay, there's a difference between Kedushin and Hektish. But so you're left with Barpada. You're left with the question only on Barpada. Amalach Barpada. No, because Barpada can explain to you as follows. Hachikama, what the Braisa means is as follows. Im le'omah me'achshav shlomim, if you do not say that as of now it's a shlomim, in other words, if you look at the Braisa, if you look at the two cases of the Braisa, they're not really exactly parallel. The first one was you said that for 30 days it'll be an Ola, and after that it'll be a Shlomim. The other one is you said it's as of now it's a Shlomim, and after 30 days it'll be an Ola. There's a difference between saying as of now.
Why?
Because, wait, Im loy Shlomim. If you did not say that as of now it's a Shlomim, then after 30 days it will become an Ola. Meaning, in other words, the reason why the Braisa is mentioning it in this form that it did, after 30 days it will be an Ola, and as of now it's a Shlomim, is because, if, according to Barpada, no, if you say that as of now it's a Shlomim, then no, after 30 days it won't be able to become an Ola. Even though we're talking from Shlomim to Ola, which is a lighter Kedusha, you would think it can become a heavier Kedusha. But again, according to Barpada, Kedusha can't just go away on its own. So no, the fact that you said me'achshav, that as of now it's Shlomim, prevents it from being able to become an Ola. If you did not say as of now it's a Shlomim, then after 30 days it can become an Ola. But if you said as of now it's a Shlomim, then if you say as of now it's a Shlomim, then even after 30 days it's not even after 30 days that Kedusha still remains on it unless you part it. Doesn't matter, Malin Bakodesh. There's still a Kedusha of a Shlomim on it right now. In order to take away that Kedusha. Because is it because he said Ola before Shlomim? I don't think he's saying that the key thing is the fact that you mentioned Ola before Shlomim. It's the fact that you said Me'achshav, as opposed to before when you said for 30 days it'll be an Ola and then it'll be a Shlomim. So you never mentioned that during those 30 days there's no Me'achshav. But now you're saying Me'achshav, as of now it's a Shlomim. So therefore, that makes the difference then. Even though you mentioned Ola first, even though you said the word Ola first, but because you said Me'achshav Shlomim, then that takes precedence. Then that takes precedence.
Even though
you said the word Ola first, certainly if you said Me'achshav Shlomim and after 30 days Ola, then there's no question. But even if you said Achalamad Yom Ola, where you would think that takes precedence first, and then you mentioned, by the way, from now on it's a Shlomim, no, the fact that you said from now on it's a Shlomim, that makes it take precedence.
Then on.
What do you mean from then, from the 30 days? Well, then, yeah, obviously. And why is that? It's similar to the case where if a man says to a woman, you should be Mekudish to me, and he gives her a Prutah for Kedushin now, and he says, you should be Neskadish to me after 30 days, then the din is after 30 days she becomes Mekudish, even though the money has been used up in between. So the same way there, after 30 days, even though the money is no longer in existence.
Right.
Now there are other cases. I mean, for example, you have a case where a man lends a woman money and then says, I'm going to be mekadesh you using that milva, using that money that we talked about that in Silvus at one point, yeah. That the halacha is that doesn't work because milva lights on it. No, once she's given the money, it's assumed to be spent, and therefore the money doesn't exist at the time of the tradition. Here we're saying that once he gave her that money, even though during that 30 days the money gets spent, the fact is at that point, if she spends it, if she ends up not taking the kedushin, as we're going to talk about in a minute, that the possibility that she can change her mind and say I don't want to be nistadish to you after all during the 30 days, she'll owe him back. She'll have to pay back the kedushin money. Therefore, that kedushin money, therefore, there's still that shibud of the kedushin money. And therefore, the kedushin takes effect. So the same way as there, the kedushin don't take effect right away, but they're able to take effect later. The same way over here, the kedusha may not be able to take effect now, but it will be able to take effect later. But only if he didn't say ma'ash of shlamim. If he said ma'ash of shlamim, is the point we're saying, that's different, because then already the kedusha of shlamim is on it. And according to Rav Pada, that kedusha can't just go away. You need to be poyder.
Why do we infer from kedusha, which is not the same as the kedusha we have here?
No, but it's a similar concept, though. There's a reason why kedusha is from the Shodesh Kedusha. I mean, it's a similar concept. We use kedusha as an analogy for many areas.
No, so what is hektish?
No, but in a way she is. Hektish is something that's reserved only for the Bais HaMikdash. A woman is reserved only for her husband. But it's a similar kind of thing. It's a similar kind of concept, yes. Okay, so the Gemara asked Pshita, well then, isn't that obvious then?
Yes.
That, in fact, if a man is mekadesh a woman and the money says it should take effect in 30 days, then it takes effect even if the money is gone. The Ran points out. I mean, it's not so simple. And in fact, the Ran says there's a difference. Although not all the Rishonim agree with this, the Ran says there's a difference between whether you're mekadesh with money or with a shtar. If you were to be mekadesh with a shtar under the same circumstances, and the shtar was lost or ripped up or what have you within the 30 days. The Ran says the kedushin would actually not be chal, because the shtar has to be in existence when the kedushin takes effect. Whereas when it comes to money, it's good enough if there's just the shibud. Other Rishonim disagree with that. Other Rishonim say that no, even if the shtar is not in existence after the 30 days, she'd also be mekadosh.
Being in existence, meaning being in the
being in existence, exactly. No, being in existence, exactly what it sounds like. As opposed to if it got burnt during those 30 days, for example.
But if it's misplaced,
then misplaced, it's fine. It's okay. That's different. Anyway, the Ran answers that the Gemara knows at this point what it's going to answer in a minute. The Gemara knows that there's a difference that there is a difference between hektish and other kinds of transactions, including kedushin. Namely, the difference that we mentioned before, that when you say that you're going to give something to hektish, that already has an effect, and hektish is already koneh at that point, just as much as with a regular transaction between people when you actually hand something over. The Gemara knows that at this point. Therefore, the Gemara is asking that isn't it obvious that once you say this animal is going to be hektish in 30 days, is going to be an oila in 30 days, assuming you haven't said that it's in between that it's going to be a shlamim, then of course it becomes hektish after 30 days. That's how you also the Gemara can consider also the hedya. In the same way as when you give the woman the money and the kedushin are chal after 30 days, yes. The same way when you say this animal will be a korban after 30 days, yes. The answer is like tricha dehodere. Yes, well, you could be talking about a case where one of them changed their mind and decided they don't want the kedushin to be chal. Okay. The question is hanuch lamando ama ena chazer. That's fine. That works according to the opinion that says that she can't change her mind. Hodebe is not talking about the kedushin. It's talking about where he changed his mind as far as the korban. If he, no, let's go back. The answer is, the chiddush is, the hoderbei. If he tried to change his mind during those 30 days, before the animal has become an ola yet, he changes his mind and says, you know what, I don't want to give it as an ola after all. Nevertheless, just like in the case of the kiddushin are still in effect once the money was given, so also here, the animal is still a carbon. Then the question is, that works according to the opinion that she can't change her mind. But according to the opinion, it's Machlokas Rebbechin and Rish Lakish in Kedushin, that she can change her mind. Then what can you say? She can change her mind then about getting married. She can say during the 30 days, you know what? Here's your money back. I don't want to be niskadish to you. Or not even here's your money back. I don't want to be niskadish to you. I'll owe you the money at another time. So what would be the difference with the carbon then? That we're saying that in the case of the carbon, he can't change his mind. The answer is afilu l'mandar mahasim chazeres, because even according to the opinion that says over there that she can change her mind, ha chashayni, here it's different with the carbon, damiros l'gavaya kim sidos l'hedyet. Because when you say verbally that you're going to give something to Hekdesh, it's the equivalent of handing it over to, in the case of a hedyet. Meaning that when you said this animal is going to be a carbon in 30 days, then that's it. You can't take that back. It's the equivalent of giving something to a person and saying that you're going to be carrying it in 30 days. So the Ram says, actually, we learned in Ksubas that as a matter of fact, there is a difference. We learned that if a person sells a cow to somebody else and says, do Mashiach on it now, but you're only going to be carrying it in 30 days, then if it's not standing in his chotzer at the end of the 30 days, he's not carrying it. So first of all, the Ram says, if it's standing in his chotzer, then you still could change your mind because the kinyan is not chal during the 30 days. But the whole world is the chotzer. The whole world is the chotzer of the Ebishter. Therefore, no matter where the thing is, it's considered that the kinyan is taking place. So even if you change your mind, you can't change your mind.
You can't. The difference between kedushin and simple kinyan. That's what
we're saying there is a difference between hektish. There is a difference between hektish and anything else. But kedushin, in that sense, is like a regular kinyan.
Where you can change your mind.
You can change your mind by kedushin, but hektish you can't. Right. So there is a difference. We can use it as an analogy as far as it goes.
Kedushin
you can't be matanedi. You can give a gift, but yeah. Okay. Just to finish off, by the way, the Ran mentions that does this din also apply then? What about if a person says that I'm going to give this money to tzedakah in 30 days? What about if a person says I'm going to give this money to tzedakah in 30 days? We say the same rule applies. I'm going to offer the gavoya, can sit off the idea, or maybe there's a difference. Tzedakah meaning plain old tzedakah. You could argue on the one hand, if we're saying hektish is hektish, tzedakah is considered like hektish for that purpose. Or you could argue the Rashba argues that this whole discussion over here is only according to Bapada, but according to Abaya and Rava's explanations, we can still make a distinction over there that kedusha can go away without anything else. And in fact, I mean, we haven't yet finished the discussion. We'll continue it tomorrow. But as far as the argument between Bapada and Ula, the halacha is actually the Rambam Paskin in a way like both of them. Like Bapada's detail about that if you put it while the tree is standing, it's going to become kaddish over and over.
Right.
But according to Ula, is that once you chop it down, you don't need to be put it. That the kedusha can go away by itself without anything else. So therefore we see that this idea that kedusha can't go away without anything else is not necessarily something that everybody agrees to. What we said before, that Ula disagrees with it, Rava and Abaya also do, and then the Rambam indeed passes according to that.
But it cannot.
That it could.
It could go
that
away.
It could go away by itself without needing anything else.
But completely?
Yeah. So once you chop down the tree, then yeah.